to cling to. With a series of clanks and thumps, the ship's belly grapnels took a firm grip on the dusty soil outside. The whine of repulsor lifts faded away. Jed took his hands off the controls and leaned back into the seat. For all his bluster, he looked exhausted, or at least hungover. His prematurely gray hair stood up on one side, and his eyes were heavily bagged.
"I'll mind the farm until you get back," he told them. "Don't do anything I wouldn't do."
Ula stood, hoping against hope that the Grand Master would change her mind. No such good fortune. She was already heading down the cockpit ladder, trailing Shigar like a pet. Ula waved Clunker ahead of him.
"Good luck," Jet told him.
"You didn't say that to the others."
"I figure they don't need it."
"Thanks for the vote of confidence,"
Jet grinned.
"You'll be okay. Just remember, you've got an unbeatable advantage."
"What's that?"
"The ability to see both sides at once."
Ula didn't know what to say to that, or to the many other hints Jet had dropped indicating that he knew what Ula was. Ula had never had the courage to ask outright, not even during the long hours when he and the smuggler had sat waiting for Shigar to make good on his psychometric promise. Whether it was true or not that Jet had guessed, Ula would rather it was never said aloud. His life relied on pretense. Once it was gone, he didn't know what that would leave him. So he just nodded and headed down the stairs to meet the others at the airlock, wondering how anyone in his position could be considered advantaged. He felt like he was being pulled in a dozen directions. If he wasn't careful, one sharp tug might tear him to pieces. Axe walked the short distance along the umbilical with measured fury. She burned to be back in the Interceptor rather than wasting her time with Mandalorians and envoys again. It was as bad as being back on Hutta, only this time she had no clear advantage to hope for. All she could think of was the work she should have been doing at that moment, protecting the fleet from hexes at least, or maybe even preparing an attack force to wipe Striver from the sky. She didn't like coming to him when called, like some kind of menial.
"You will speak to the meddling Mandalorian on my behalf,"
her master had told her.
"But Master..."
"Do I need to explain to you again what your duty is? It is to serve the Emperor through me, his instrument. When you defy me, you defy him."
And that was the problem, of course. She had defied him, by ignoring his orders during the Hex's attack on Hutta. Now she was being punished for it, while he waited comfortably half-frozen in the secret room in his shuttle. Whether her defiance had served the fleet or not was irrelevant. She could only forget all about doing anything constructive, let alone to the betterment of the Empire, until Darth Kratos changed his mind.
"I'm here,"
she said when she reached the First Blood's external airlock. Her right hand fiddled with the hilt of her lightsaber.
"Don't keep me waiting, Striver."
The door hissed open. A token escort followed her into the ship, three soldiers in formal black and grays. She didn't look behind her to make sure they were keeping up. As a deliberate act of defiance aimed at both Striver and her master, she hadn't changed out of her combat uniform. It stank of oil and smoke and combat, exactly like Striver's ship. Her hair swayed heavily down her back, like thick rope. The First Blood had a low profile head-on, but was surprisingly spacious inside. Its walls were ribbed rather than sealed with flat panels.